Hello and welcome to the Abundology Podcast. My name is Renee Spears and I'm here with my personal astrologer and one of my favorite people on the motherfucking planet, Deborah Norton. So
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you again for inviting me.
It's time again. We've done this, you know, we did it at the beginning of the year and then at the spring equinox. And here we are coming up on the summer solstice. So right. It was a perfect time to get a catch up of what to expect, you know, going into the summer. But I think I'd like to start with Mercury retrograde since we're still in Mercury retrograde.
And it's a big one. It's a really supercharged Mercury retrograde because it's in Gemini and Mercury rules Gemini. So it's right at home. And for all you Geminis out there, this just might be a really exciting time for you because you spin at that speed. But not everybody spins at the speed of Gemini, man. It's fast. It's quick. It changes on a dime. It's so adaptable. That's what I love, love, love about Gemini is that it is, if you think about it, change or die, right? We've all heard that, change or die. That's really the law of evolution, right? You either change or you go extinct. And so Gemini is the master of that. And it often gets a bad rap for being so changeable that it gets called two-faced quite frequently, like the twins. And the idea of the twins kind of backs that up. And I just want to clarify that is just not how I see it. What I see in Gemini is the ability to change your mind so quick, but it's true. It's not that it's a false, fake thing. It's just if Geminis are seeking information all the time. It's like data, 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 data. Just give it to me. Let me gobble it up. Let me put it in its place. Let me sort through it and figure out what it all means. And it's just this constant, very quick mind. And so I like to think of the hummingbird or the dragonfly that's able to just shift so quickly. And so Geminis could be having one conversation with two people and they could start firmly on the side of one and end the conversation firmly on the side of the other because they got their mind changed because it made sense. It's not fake. And maybe the other person is like, hey, motherfucker, you just like totally abandoned me. Well, the Gemini is going to be like, well, back up your facts, bitch. You
know? Yes. Yes.
Give me the data. Convince me. So I love that about Gemini because, first off, Geminis, as you are, you are super Gemini. So fun and interesting to talk to, could talk for hours, just always something new to think about, always a different spin on an old issue. Like it just never ends. So because we're, and obviously I think most people know we're in Gemini now too. The sun is in Gemini. So having Mercury retrograde in its home and the sun there is supercharged. And so what that can mean for people who don't operate on the frequency of Gemini, the way I just described, it can be a real like scary time because there's so much spinning around and it's all spinning around up in the head, up in your thoughts and in your consciousness. And it can feel like, it could cause like a restlessness of spirit. And Mercury retrograde often does cause that sense of restlessness. Like you're trying to work things out, but it's not an outward working out, it's an inward working out. So it's a lot of times we reflect a lot on the past to try to make sense of old stories and how they relate to us now. So it's a lot of going on up there. And that's why we always as astrologers recommend that during Mercury retrograde, keep it up there. Keep your thoughts to yourself. Let yourself incubate. Let it be a time of reflection and processing and try not to go outward with it, because most likely when you're spewing outward with your perspectives, thoughts, whatever, you are now going to be misunderstood by whoever is trying to receive that, because then they're going to hear everything you say and it's going to go backwards through their mind and they're going to be chewing, processing, comparing, and it's not going to match. And that's what's called a misunderstanding. And that, you know, honestly, like I've been married my whole life to someone, you know, I've been married to someone since I was 18. And so I'm very, very well versed on what it's like to miscommunicate with your partner. And that's obviously where it's most likely going to show up, is with your, whoever you spend the most time with is where you might have some pretty big misunderstandings or miscommunications. And so it even though I am great at knowing all this, I still fall right into it. You know, it doesn't matter. I'm still here on Earth as a human, and every Mercury retrograde, I have a meltdown with someone close to me almost every time. And this one is not the exception. We had a massive kind of family implosion at the very beginning of this retrograde, which really threw me, because it's like, we've been a family that's been harmonious for a while. But what I realized was that we are now in the wake of the virus. We're in the aftermath of COVID. And if you didn't get sick, wonderful. If you didn't lose anyone, wonderful. But it still affected you.
Absolutely.
In a fucking way.
Yeah.
It all kind of came out in our family drama. And I'm pretty sure other families are experiencing this on some level, is that all, now that we're going forward again, but we're in retrograde. So it's like, we all feel like, oh, it's time to start living again. And the masks are starting to come off, and the vaccine percentage is getting close to that critical mass place, and we're all ready to go, but we're still holding back. We're still not quite sure if it's safe. We're still sort of sorting through all the things that came up during this great pause, during this moment of like global crisis. Like, we are all connected to it. And if you think that you got out of it without any impact, just wait. Because you have to acknowledge what you've been through and where that has sent you. It sent you us all on our own little journeys, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And
experience with the pandemic, that you went on your own little journey, because you had your own unique experience, right?
Absolutely. And I've been fortunate enough not to have lost somebody, or, you know, have somebody that was close to me get sick. Yeah. And I thought that I just breezed right through it. No big deal. Until I went back out in the world. Then it hit me like, oh my goodness, I had no idea the transformation that I went through the past year.
You're different now. We're all completely different than we were forever. And we're all not going back. None of us are going back to who we were before this. And so this Mercury retrograde kind of showed up at just the right time. It's like just before summer is here. The summer solstice is on the 21st, and Mercury goes direct the next day.
Wow.
So it's literally like just a cap to it, saying, wait a minute, I know it's time to go out, summer's coming, but you got a little bit more work to do before you go out there. And I think part of that reflection time of Mercury retrograde now is for us to realize all the ways that we look at the world differently now, and that we are different. And it's not a time to go back to the way it was. It's a time to go forward into something new. And that is scary for a lot of people. I know it isn't for you, because you're just that kind of, you have that energy of outward forward motion and adaptability that comes with Gemini. But a lot of people who are stuck in fixed signs like Taurus, Aquarius, Leo, and Scorpio, those folks are probably struggling right now.
Yeah.
They're just, fixed signs are so slow to change. And we need that. That's why we have fixed signs. We need stability in our collective. We need that. But those folks, when things start to shift, it can get really, really intense and really frightening. And it can be a very difficult process. And so to all my fixed friends, I am very fixed. So I am with you. And I'm just saying, sit with yourself, but also like make small motions to get out a little bit, make small efforts to get out of whatever rut you're in, whether that's physically getting out of your house just to take a walk, or go to eat, or go, you know, do something outside that you can do now that we couldn't do before. But maybe do that alone. Maybe have that time to just like acclimate back into action and acclimate back into society. Because most of the fixed people have probably been pretty comfy with this like pause, like just have permission to do nothing, you know?
Yeah.
And that can feel really good. But it is time to get moving again. It's time to get out of the mud, get our pull our feet out of it, you know, thunk, thunk, and just start moving again. And so as the solstice hits, we're primed and Mercury's going to go direct. So then, you know, right as the solstice hits, we're ready for life. We're ready for the sun to be shining. We're ready to get our vitality tank filled up. We're ready to like start to get together and start to socialize again and start to come back. But be careful that you don't forget all the amazing things that we all learned. That's what I really want to stress, is that we've all been through an incredible transformation, the likes of which I certainly, as an astrologer, didn't predict it would be this intense. But you know, I talked about it for years.
Yep.
And even I am like humbled by the stars over this, because I didn't see it this way. I didn't see the pandemic. And the beautiful, beautiful effect that has had on many people, despite all the heartache, tragic loss that we've also had to, you know, endure.
Yeah. And I will say, looking back now at the astrology of this time, how everything was like perfectly laid out for our growth, our personal growth, and then of course our societal growth, the changes that we need to make in society too.
I mean, I get chills just hearing you say that, because it is a wonder to behold. This is why I still do this, you know, this is why I still study astrology, because however it happens, I'm not clear, but it has to do with energy and frequencies, and it affects us.
Yep.
Whether we, you know, I've done hundreds of readings and never had one where someone wasn't just like, how did you know that? And I said, I didn't know that. Your chart knows that. And it told it to me, you know. It's just like, we are connected to something really divine. And astrology is a very useful tool to feel that connection come alive in your life, because it's so personalized. It's so unique to you. And it feels really good to learn about the plan that you set out on.
Yes.
After forgetting everything you ever knew.
Yes.
To Earth and being like, okay, I'm a blob of helpless flesh. I have no idea who I am or how I got here. But this astrology thing kind of helps out with that. And so it does. It just, this particular last 2 years, I'd say, have just astounded me at the beautiful way it all laid out. And all of us were feeling pretty bitter, I think, after the 2016 election.
Oh, absolutely. Yep.
Just like, is there even a God kind of a feeling? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Makes sense. Without realizing, like, here we are on the other side of it. We had to go through that. The world had to go through that, and it sucks, but we are going to be better for it. We already are.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited to hear then what we have with the solstice and then coming, going forward in summer, because everything is so well aligned.
Yeah. So what's really cool, and this won't mean a lot to everyone, but I have to say it because it is notable. When I pulled the chart, which is on the West Coast, it's 8:32 PM on the 20th of June. That's the exact time for us West Coasters. Lo and behold, I pulled a chart and there's a beautiful grand square right in the middle of it. Now, that, like I said, that doesn't mean a lot to everyone, but just as a quick, lesson on what a grand square is, you can't miss it if you see a chart with it, because it's a big red square with a red X down the middle. Like, it's very, very distinct. And basically squares are points of conflict and challenge. And so when you have a grand square formation in the sky, that means that four planets are in direct challenge and conflict with each other at the same time. And so some people, including my son, were born with this.
Wow.
And it's a doozy. Like, when I see a grand square in a chart, I'm just like, this is no joke. I just had a reading this week. I had just started to think, I haven't seen a grand square in a while. And I got a reading this week. And there it was, beautiful, right in the middle. And it was, I mean, with grand square people, you just know they are here to kick ass and work hard and go through life and experience a lot. And so we are having that same formation at the moment of the solstice. And what's interesting about it is that one of the corners of the square is the moon. Now the moon is going to move right out of that in a matter of minutes. So that grand square holds true just for a moment. and then
the moon.
So it's literally just like, think, there it is, the solstice, and then the moon moves on. So it's just like a, for me, that's distinctive.
Yes.
It's just a moment in time, but it is where, and then the planets involved in that square are the moon, of course, Saturn, the great lesson, chiropractor of the universe to set us all straight. Uranus, the planet of change, like chaotic change, massive change. And also though, moments of genius, epiphanies, brilliant ideas, just descending into your head, just like downloads. And then at the top corner of the square is Mars, the, you know, the planet of drive and action and passion and even rage. And so when you look at those four planets, like mixing it up right at that time, I mean, all that looks to me is like the summer is going to be busy, filled with lessons, but lots of action and desires being satisfied. And with all with a twist, a little bit of newness involved. So that to me, that grand square kind of speaks to the summer for me as an astrologer. I see that. I'm like, that's it. That's the summer. So it's really all about getting busy, letting life open up again, and also approaching it with courage. Mars is all about courage, but also with wisdom. Saturn's all about wisdom and being up for change, which is Uranus. And then the moon, don't lose connection to your soul, to your feelings through it all. Don't disconnect from how you feel throughout it. So the moon being there, even just for that moment, really does speak to this, like, remember who you are. Remember what you've been through. Don't let go of what you just experienced. For all of us, the pandemic was a gift. And I don't mean that in it's a slight, the terrible loss that we've all felt and that many people have felt on a personal level. But I mean a gift as in, what is the value of life? We've all had to think about that.
And we've all had lots of time to sit home and think about that.
Like even now, we've got, you know, this big war brewing between maskers and anti-maskers and vaxxers and anti-vaxxers. Like, this is how we are all figuring out the value of life. And even if you're on the opposite end, like I'm definitely a vaxxer masker. Yes. I look at the anti-masker vaxxers and I think they think they're protecting life too, though. We see yes. it differently. They have different information. Maybe it's not as factual as we'd like it to be, but for whatever reason, they believe it. And they really are caring about life, even if it's coming across in a backwards way. And so I just rejoined Facebook and I'm already starting to see like these arguments that are forming over certain restaurants saying you can come in without a mask if you have a proof of vaccination. And people are comparing that to like Nazi Germany.
Right.
Bizarre. Like, I don't get it.
Right.
I don't get it. But I know at the root of what these people are spewing out is that they're afraid and that they want to preserve human life. So we're all on the same side.
Yeah.
It's not quite as harsh as like the whole Trumper thing. Like, this isn't quite on that same level of discord because we're all coming from actually the same place of love and care for each other, but we just all are believing different information.
Right.
And so how do we all get through this together? You know, how are we all, I mean, this, I'm looking at this like, is this could blow up into something really big and difficult for us as a collective to deal with, or it could just kind of slowly fade away. I'm not sure what's going to happen, but it is something that everybody should look at and think about, like what, and hopefully help that be a unifying factor. Because if we stop like bickering, especially on social media, then we can all just have our opinions and we do what we do.
Right.
We can only do that if we realize that we're really all on the same side.
Yeah, such a good point. And as a Gemini, you know, I'd like to.
Can I convince you?
No, I, as you know, I already believe what you're
saying. We're already on the same
page. We're on the same page. But I have really read some of the anti-vaxxers, anti-maskers information, and I completely agree with you. I understand some of the things that they are thinking and believing. Do I agree with them? No, but I understand how they could get to that spot.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
And it is, we are, I think we've always been all of us living on different, like in different dimensions of understanding. Yeah. And I think that's one, I think we always have. And I think that's just one thing that is what keeps conflict alive so viscerally, is that we just don't accept that you're living in a different dimension of understanding about the issue. And I'm living on this one. And honestly, I'm going to say, I don't think one is better than the other. It's just a human experience at the end of the day. I mean, come on. We're all just having a human experience. I'm not one to say my way is better than any other way, even if I don't agree, you know? And I feel like it's the only way we're all going to eventually, hopefully, if ever, come to some sort of, you know, collective unity.
Right.
Is if we lay down those swords.
Yeah.
And start to just to start to get past this crap.
And that starts with us. It does not start with the other person. You have to do the work yourself.
Heck
just
yeah.
like everything else. Yep.
That's what this time is for. That is what the work we're talking about, we're in it right now as we are preparing to go back out into the world. And we have this wonderful planetary Mercury retrograde phenomenon that is assisting us in that. And hopefully it means that we all can have a beautifully active, happy, joyful summer.
Yeah.
And just celebrate life all summer. That's what I hope.
To celebrate life all summer. So is that kind of the advice you're giving us, Deb, is to move forward again open ourselves up.
Yeah, let it finish its job. So until the solstice, keep it to yourself. Keep it within yourself, but do the work. Don't ignore it. Like, think about the things that you need to think about. Put things in the columns in your mind. Like, sort it out. That's what Geminis are great at. And allow that work to be done. And then at the culmination of the solstice, we've got a beautiful, beautiful trine, which is a harmonious connection between the sun and Jupiter. Now, and these are in water signs. So this is a whole different bag of tricks. We've got Jupiter, which is the benevolent gift giver, talent bringer, like I call the Santa Claus of the Zodiac, just like of the planets, you know, just very generous, very benevolent, very buoyant, very optimistic. And then the sun, which is obviously our source of life, vitality. So those two in harmony with each other is a really lovely, lovely explosion of feelings. So just be prepared, because the feelings are going to start kicking in. And Jupiter is here to be like, here you go. And it's kind of interesting because Jupiter is now retrograding out of Pisces back into Aquarius. It's just at 2 degrees. And the sun, this is on the solstice, the sun will be just into Cancer, just barely at 1 degree Cancer. And so we've got 2 degrees Jupiter, 1 degree Sun in Cancer. And then Jupiter's going to move right on back out of Pisces into Aquarius. So it's literally to me like Jupiter just dipped in for that moment with the Sun to give us all hope, to give us light, to help us come back to life. And then Jupiter's like, okay, now I got more work to do in Aquarius.
Yeah.
Which is where all the work is being done this year is in Aquarius, because that's where Saturn is. And that's hard work, but at least we're going to have this like benevolent, like send off into summer, you know, to like lift our spirits, because there's still a lot of work to be done. And that's really the theme of the rest of the year.
Yeah. Well, how nice though, that we get this solstice right after the Mercury retrograde that gives us this little like burst of hope, you know,
of light. You know, and the solstice is the longest night, the longest day of the year, as most people know. It's the most access to the sun that we have all year. So soak it up. Hopefully it's sunny. Hopefully you can see the sun where you are on the solstice. I don't know about us in the Pacific Northwest. We never know.
Yeah.
But it's still up there. So do a sun salutation on the solstice. Do something to just celebrate the sun, the return of the light. You know, and it is now, as we know, the days will start to get shorter.
Yeah.
That's kind of hard to take in.
Isn't it? It feels at the beginning of the summer too, when we just feel like we're getting going.
Yeah, but it's actually, but that's okay because we've been infused with it.
Yeah.
Now it starts to its decline. We're like pumped up with as much sun as we can get on the solstice, and then it starts to decline. So you have that, you're pumped up for the summer, and then it should start to peter out so that we can be prepared for the darkness that's coming. And so it doesn't like, you know, shock you, you know, it's going to, you know, the sun, the days are going to get dark again, you know, and we have to be ready for that. So it all works beautifully in harmony. It's some magnificent system. Who knows how it got there? But we can rely on these things. I mean, that's the thing about astrology. You know, of all the belief systems I've had, which I've dabbled in many, the thing about astrology is it's there. They're there. You look up, like the planets are there. They exist. Like you cannot deny that they exist and have some impact on us as light beings.
Well, you know, I do the weekly energy update, and I dab in astrology from what I've learned from you over the years, but it is amazing to me how week after week builds on the week before. Yeah. It's like magical. We couldn't create it any better than it is.
And there's the thing too about astrology is that there's no pressure.
Right.
How I look at our life experience is that we're on a spiral and we're not going up and down. We're just going side to side because I don't believe in hierarchies. I don't like ups and downs. I like side to side. So we're going and we're learning and we may advance, you know, to the right. And then we're in this new understanding over here, but then we spiral back to the left. And then sometimes we just spiral in the middle, just doing nothing, going nowhere for a while. And it's all okay.
Yes.
So you ride the transit you're having and you fly like a bird and you have all these amazing things that come from that. And sometimes you miss them completely because you're feeling you're in something, you know, and that there's no pressure. It's like it all comes around again. It'll all come back around. It'll all come back around. You're going to be okay. You know,
yes.
It's like there's so much flexibility and room to just be a flawed human. And I wish more people really believe that, including myself. Like we are not on, I don't believe we are on some perfectionist kick.
I reject
that outright. There is no such thing as perfection. Get it. I'm talking to you, Virgos. striving for something is good. But if you start to feel bad about yourself for not getting where you think you should be by now, it's like, you know, it's okay. Just catch the next one.
If we're looking at this from an energy perspective, the one thing that majorly dips your energy is you beating up on yourself, you thinking you're not good enough, that you're not in the right spot and you're not doing enough. And so if you could just give that stuff up, life would be tremendously better.
Oh, tremendously better. And unfortunately, it's part of our human condition that we have to learn to overcome that.
Yep.
You know, the world puts us down from the day we're born. And from that point forward, you're fighting to be happy. I don't know why this world, this earth, whatever it is, it's a really hard school.
Well, it's nice to hear. Yeah. It's nice to hear though, that we have this solstice coming with the square and then the trine that just moves us forward, us forward. Yep.
I really do want to stress that this summer is for having fun and just reconnecting to people. And, you know, my husband and I took my son and his fiance out to dinner at our favorite restaurant that we haven't got to go to once all year. And it was just, we were all like kids in a candy shop. In fact, we were all saying how that morning we woke up and we were all just so excited that we got to go there that night and be together and have a meal together. And it's literally like something a year ago we wouldn't have thought twice about.
Right.
So joyful. So we have at our fingertips access to so much joy right now.
Oh. Just
by being together again and going out to our favorite places. And I mean, I found tremendous joy in just telling the people who work at this restaurant, I'm so happy you made it. I'm so happy you're still here. You know, and boy, do they need to hear that right now. They all just lit up and they were like, we're so happy you're here too. You know? Like, we get through some shit, man. Like we got to celebrate now that we're still here.
So, you know, I just got back from my Montana road trip to the national parks, and we were in Glacier, and the joy, everybody was hiking on this trail, and we passed the park ranger, and I could hear people, you know, and every single person was like, thank you so much for opening the park. We're so happy to be here. I get to the, I'm going to cry now on the podcast. I get to the park ranger and she's crying. She's like, this is one of the best days of my life. It's just,
why make me cry?
I know. But just so, like you said, before we would have just perhaps been on our, all gone on our hike, enjoyed it, but you know, whatever. But just this
other day, a beautiful hike, but gosh, how much more special it is.
I know.
You have to bask in that.
Yeah, that's, let's end there because I love that. That, the message of this, it's time to bask in the joy. This is the summer to bask in the joy.
Yes, I love it.
Yes, yes. Perfect. Well, as always, it's so great to talk to you. And you can have a reading with Deborah too at DeborahNorton.com. I'll put a link in the show notes, and we'll be back again probably about the fall equinox to, you know, check in again to see how things are going.
Yeah, like clockwork.
All right, everybody, have a fabulous summer, bask in the joy, and we'll talk to you again soon.